Thank you very much for joining me for this interview series.
And this thank you for having me and inviting me.
You're welcome. So this is the first one in a video format, and hopefully there's going to be more. So let's go and talk about your story and how you, what you do and where you are currently.
So I'm actually South African. I was born and bred there. I lived there until I was 25. And then it was very common for South Africans then having almost like a gap year after university or college to go to the UK, because there was a special visa that you could go over and work. But it's like casual work more, and travel, work and travel visa.
Yeah.
So it's like loads of people I know was doing it. So I was doing it as well. And the plan was just to stay for 6 months, and 25 years later, I'm still here. So yes, that is how it started. Just something very casual, which ended in something big.
Great.
So I was actually, first when you came over, I had like an office job, a corporate job, and then I knew deep down, always, literally every day I was on that train, the commute, I was like, this is not my life, this is not who I am. I was so desperate to have my own business. But at that stage, for us to be able to stay in the country, I had to have a sponsorship from a company. So my company was sponsoring me. So I couldn't just leave. And it was kind of before the days of online businesses. So I couldn't just do something on the side easily. So it went on like that for a really long time, which I think was a good thing as well, because I had so many ideas of businesses that I wanted to start. I think there's quite a few I would have started that wouldn't have worked out if I could do it. So I had to stay in corporate jobs. I worked for Apple in the end for a really long time, which I loved. And then at one point, I have a 12-year-old daughter. I had a long commute to Apple. I traveled a lot as well. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And yeah, so I left. That was about 6 years ago now. And it was literally, it almost like as if I had the second birth, because I kind of knew I could then just, you know, start my own business.
Definitely. And so, did you ever think of going back to South Africa at that time when there was some changes in your life, or maybe go somewhere else?
Yes. Yeah. It was almost like, I don't know if there's someone that can, that's been through the same, but it's like all the time we were like, I got married in the meanwhile. My husband is also South African from the same hometown. We know each other from home, so we have this same experience and the same nostalgia, and we would be like, should we go back, should we stay, should we go back? But at that stage also politically, we weren't sure with South Africa how it's going to go, and there was just a lot of opportunity work-wise in the UK for him as well. And we really enjoyed just travel, you know, from the UK, it's so easy to travel. Mm. So we loved that lifestyle of just hopping on a plane for a weekend and traveling. But all the time in the back of our minds, like, yeah, you know, our home is in a way South Africa. Mm. But I don't know, you just kind of get more and more into it. I don't know about you now, where you are. It just becomes more and more your country. So in the end, because it's also an easy flight for us back to South Africa, it's just an overnight flight. We are still here 25 years later.
That's great. And actually leads to my next question is, like, can you tell me, you've already mentioned one, things that you like about living in the UK. Where are you in? Are you in London?
No, I'm just like an hour outside London in Surrey. So anyone knows, it's Farnham, which is near Guildford in Surrey. So if you look at London, the UK, I'm just kind of southeast of London, very easy to get into London. But I live most of it in London itself, actually. I saw you were there. You lived there as well.
Yes, I did live in South London for many years.
Yeah. So it's an addictive life almost, because there's just so much going on. It's hard to leave it.
Yeah, definitely. Similarly, I went for 6 months and I said 12 years, like nearly 12 years the first time. So it was, definitely something that kept you there.
Yes.
So what would you say the three things that you really enjoy about your life in the UK compared to other kind of experience that you had, either at home or abroad, what would you say kind of really made you stay?
Yeah, so I think personal safety is, I know this is a really strange one, but, you know, from South Africa, it was, and over time, the stories that we heard from home, and it's just like, it was becoming quite unsafe. So just for me, walking out alone at night in London, or even where I'm now, going in a forest here on my own, it's just, you can't do that. So I think personal safety was a big one for me. I love living also in a country where there's lots of opportunity. So I love that. Although I'm an immigrant here, and there's just still a lot of opportunity for me here. And I think the last one is a strange one, because I always try and think, you know, if I have people over from South Africa, what can they do here? What is a treat for them to do that there's not really in South Africa? And it's sounds really strange, but the pub culture is just something that is very unique here, that, you know, in the middle of the day or every evening, you can just go to your local pub or a pub and there'll be other people there. So even if you're on your own, they never have to be on your own. You can just go and quickly say, you know, pop in for a drink. You can have a coffee at most pubs. And there's just that warmth and that people that's there. And every time I'm in another country, I'm like, so I haven't been everywhere, but it's just something that I haven't found. It's definitely not in South Africa. It's not when I go to the US, it's not there. It's just that, almost that familiarity where people know you if you go to the same pub all the time. And it's not that they're your best friends, but it's just that someone is going to be there to say hello. And it's almost always open.
Definitely. So what would you say? So you mentioned a bit earlier that you started because you were at that crossroad in your life, and you had been looking online of what you could do. What made you kind of decide on what to do? Like, while looking online, there's so many options, there's so many things you could do. What helped you? Did you get some help, external help? What did you do in the process to decide and start your own business that the way you did it? Or maybe it went through different phases?
Yes, it did. But I think I was working for Lehman Brothers in Canary Wharf, which is the high towers. And I remember going down the escalators into that, like an undercover mall. So I would go in there, and there was a Molton Brown shop as you go down the escalator, you know, Molton Brown, the hand washes and hand creams. And then Christmas and, let's say, Mother's Day, there is a queue outside that. And I was just like, how do all these people queue up to buy £15 bottle of hand wash? I became almost obsessed about, like, I want to have a hand wash that people line up for. Became this thing. And then I did it for years, this, you know, this escalator journey down. So something started. And then I was on the tube and I read an interview of a company who helps people develop personal brands and product brands. So I had a chat to them, and it just very slowly, I mean, you know, for so many years I sat on the tube and thought these things over, but just realized what I want to do is start a children's toiletries company. It was when my daughter was very little, and it was such a long road, actually, so I knew that was what I wanted to do. At that stage also, Johnson & Johnson was kind of the only big brand out there, so I feel I could see a spot of a gap in the market, of something, just competition for them. And then I stupidly thought, you know, you sometimes just do things because you don't know better. I sometimes think that's so great about being an entrepreneur. You just have this dream and you go for it. But there's this genius and the boldness, because you just go. But I first thought, I'm going to sell it as almost like a Molton Brown into baby boutiques and kind of pharmacies. So I tried that, and then I realized that once I looked at the actual statistics, the statistical reports coming out, that 98% of children's toiletries are bought in supermarkets in the UK. So, you know, I can't be that 2% that is sold somewhere else. So I was in baby boutiques, I was in Harrods even with my products, but the margin is so small that you have to sell thousands every month to make money. And then I started this journey. So this is all while I'm still working, actually. Okay, I was doing some of this in the background. Just calling supermarkets, Tesco, Sainsbury's, just keep calling them, and I'm trying to get hold of the buyer. And then I had a few appointments with the shops, with their buyers, but it's such a tricky one, because you would meet the buyer like, oh, this looks interesting, and 2 months would go past and you wouldn't know, hear from them. And then you would call again like, oh, no, she's no longer on kids' toiletries. She now works on shaving cream or whatever. She's on, you've got a new buyer now for this category. So this went on for long. And then there was an opportunity with Tesco, which came up, which was massive. But at that stage, there was this scandal about Tesco, and they had to do an audit on all their suppliers. So that kind of then fell through, and it was just like such a long drawn out. But actually, in all of this, I remember reading another interview in a newspaper about someone who's doing these, you know, the amenities when you stay in hotels.
Yes.
The mini products.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds interesting. You know, made contact with her, and she's like, yeah, but no. But also, this process is like 6 months now. And then I thought, well, who else does this? And I just literally, I didn't even know what it was, Google then. I was just like, and I found another company and found the salesperson, and she said, okay, let's look at this. And she introduced me to people at her company, and we started creating these products. So my product was like big sizes, but then we started creating minis. And in the beginning, and so what they do, they distribute to hotels. It's not a hotel. They do distribution to towels, like towels and sheets and everything, but also all these amenities that you get in hotels. And literally in the beginning, it was like, so it's like a license that I license my products to them. So they pay me a royalty every month. And in the beginning, the royalty fees were like £10 a month, £10 a month, £15. But it's built up over the years to a business that is completely. So this is I've got around two businesses.
Okay.
So this is, this is how I got out of the corporate world. Just to your question. So I'll stop there and see because that's when I left, and I had a business then, and the more and more of the products sold. And actually what I realized is, the first company that said no to me was a small company, and the company that said yes to me is like the biggest hotel distributor in the world. So it's this wonderful thing of a no forced me to go to someone else, and that other person was then
much bigger,
so much bigger. So so my products are now all over the world, and they're in China, in the Hiltons and the Holiday Inns, and in the US, and everywhere. Wow. So it was a great thing that, exactly.
And do you still have that business?
I still have that business, but what happened is that it's very hands off for me. So I would, at the moment, actually, I'm doing some new product development, but it's not something that I'm actively doing every day. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for something else to do, and I love the online business space.
Yes.
So it's like I was just desperate to do something else as well, and then a friend. I was in I don't know if you know Marie Forleo. So I did B School, and then B-school. I was in a I was in an accountability group with five other people, and we just every week, 2 weeks, we would get online and just kind of have a chat on Zoom and just say, you know, how's it going? That's all that happened. One of us said at one stage, let's do, you know, online co-working. We just all sit on camera. That was about 3 years ago. So then every 2 months or so, we would all sit together and do co-working. And then every time one of the other ladies and I was like, why is this not a business? It's an amazing, it's so powerful. It's so magical. If we are so productive when we do this, but why is it not a business? And then through COVID, in the beginning of COVID, we were like, okay, let's see how can we make this work. And we launched it. So now it's Cowork Crowd. We have, I think, 60 members, and that's kind of this something that came out of nothing. It was just an idea, and we then saw there's San Francisco startup that's doing something similar. And the moment we realized there's someone that's building this into a big company, like, well, then we can definitely do this too. So we had a different model than them, but we just like, okay, this can be a business. So we just went full in.
Yeah, I love the way that it came from an experience that you had within another program, and you, you kind of decided to do that outside of it and use the information and the experience that you had from there to build
build something else. This is great. A new business. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is 100%
online. 100%
online. Or the other person, you're running the business with, you have partners?
Yes, I have a co-founder. So she's, and it's 100% online. It's basically a bunch of people get together in Zoom. It's 8 times a week. And then we would put people in little breakout rooms, for each of 5 people. And then people would go in the room. They would say, okay, today I'm going to work on my pitch for my client, or I'm going to create 5 Canva images, whatever. It's 2-hour sessions. And it's all these neuroscience, which shows why it works well. And then people would put themselves on mute, but they'll stay on camera. And body doubling, you know how it works. And then at the end of the 2-hour session, it will just be a quick, like, how did it go? And we tell people, switch off your phone, put your Wi-Fi off, whatever you need to work. But it's giving people that fully focused time to it. It's not just any time. Normally a lot of people create content in this time, because you can be so focused during that time.
This is great. So are you focusing on this? Do the people that part of the, how do you call it? The co-working? Is it, you call it online co-working?
Yeah. Online co-working. Yes.
Well, what is the name of the company?
Co-work crowd.
Right. So do they come from different countries, or are they kind of all around the world at the moment?
Yes. I know, that's the beauty. So they are from around the world. We just have one person in India. That's the furthest kind of east we have at the moment. And then we have Europe, we have the UK, and then we have US and Canada. And obviously Australia, Asia is our next one that we'll add in. But for time zone wise, it is basically Europe and until West Coast America is our main time people now. Everyone's, but that's amazing about this business, online business world. I just love it that, you know, we can, with the press of a button, you are chatting to people from all over the world doing all sorts of different businesses.
Definitely. What would you say is, like, now that you're 100% online, working online, not having those sort of meetings and that, having like a team and working with people online, compensate the fact that you're not having the day-to-day kind of face-to-face interaction?
Yes. I think it's an interesting one, and we are all so different. I think that's the one thing that I realized. Some of us really need that interaction with other people. So a lot of people say they stay with us because there's community. You know, it's maybe not face-to-face here in person, but the fact that every morning, instead of them just being on their own at home, working from home, they switch on the computer at 9 o'clock in the morning, like, hello, good morning, how is your, you know, how's it going? And it's a very quick chat, but there are other people. Whereas if you're just every day, you know, in the online business space, often we're just 100% working on our own. You know, you can be watching Netflix and eating ice cream by 11 o'clock. No one will know. But this is just, it's not just accountability. It's like camaraderie. And also if you hear people saying, oh, I'm going to have to work on my tax today, you know, my taxes are due, or I'm going to do my accounts. It's that 95% of business building. That's the kind of the unsexy things. That's not very fun to do, but just knowing that other people are doing the same. So the fact that for us, it's almost a comparison from on our own from home or having other people on screen. But to answer your original question, what I do is, because I do feel I need past, like, a real life interaction as well. So I belong to like a networking group in my town. So I see them once a month. But other than that, I mostly just see friends and go for, you know, a coffee with someone, but they're not necessarily business owners. I think it's one of the things that I really, when I moved out of London, there's not that many business owners around you necessarily. And it's so that the networking that I go to, there's no other online business owners. They really struggle to know, you know, it's normally people that have, that's like a graphic designer in town, or people understand what they do. But if I explain what we do, it's like, oh, okay. That sounds interesting.
Definitely. Now, okay. And I realized my question was actually you know, my point of view of you needing to go out and meet people, because that's the same for me, because I feel like, because I work online, I need to, and I go to conferences that are vaguely related to my topics, but just because I go and see people that now they're coming back and having meetings in towns and in town, and just to be able to, yes, to have that interaction. But as you mentioned, having a friendly face in the morning, even if it's online, but having someone that you know, and something that you may not get in a co-working space, because they may be like teams already working together and then random people coming in and you don't know them necessarily. Whereas they're going to be there.
Yes, exactly. Because I've got a local co-working place, and it is, you just walk into, hi, and then you go and sit down. You don't, you just talk to the receptionist and you sit down. But yeah, I think I'm actively now trying also to go to events, because I'm not really extroverted, but I do feel that I need it now after COVID. We're so long that we couldn't do it, and we couldn't speak to people like us almost, that at these events. I mean, the UK office is easier for me than you, but there are people that are online business owners that we can talk to face to face. So that is
definitely. I love that you've created the kind of the support group, the support that people need when they go, when they work online, because it is hard.
It's lonely.
And as you mentioned as well, everyone lives, like, have the different experience doing the same thing. They could be, you know, two different graphic designers, but they have their personality, their lifestyle will change, and they, we often miss to be able to have normal conversation with people the same experience.
Yes. And sometimes someone will say, oh, today I'm going to schedule my social media, and then someone else will ask, oh, what tool do you use? So there is a little bit of, you know, chatting like that, of just, we do the same thing, but there are so many options. And sometimes you can go into a Facebook group and ask, but it's not the same than chatting to someone who can give you kind of the straight answer.
Definitely. Well, I love your story, and I love how you've as I mentioned earlier, you've experienced something in one environment, and then you created a business from that. I love everything to do with creativity and to be able to transform things and adapt to your situation. So
I think you're so right. I think that's what we do as business owners, and we just have to that's what creativity is about in the business environment. It's just going to apply what we've seen some one place and go and apply it into another space. But I love that you are bringing together people who are outside their own country. And it's not until I've kind of read about your story that I really thought about myself as someone who's doing it in another country. And I sometimes think, if I was back in South Africa, I would be more surrounded by business owners. There is something a bit more lonely about doing it as a foreigner almost in a country, and you need to actively go and seek groups. It's not, there's no one that was at school with you or at college, university that are doing this. You need, if you don't go and find people, you will just be on your own.
Definitely. Yeah, it's loneliness is one of the reasons that so many people as well go online. And I didn't go online as when I was living in the UK. I was working, I was in the corporate world, in fundraising actually. But I was not, I never sort of doing anything online. I never really considered as well myself as someone living, like, I was obviously living outside of my country, but I was kind of, it was different. I went to university there, so it's slightly different as well. So I had my group of friends from university as well. But it was, it's when you go into a new country, we need to be active in creating, it doesn't have to be a huge circle, but a circle of, like,
that's true,
people that you can count on, or they can support you or can help you. And I know I do that as well now, because I've been over 25 years abroad, like living outside of my country. I've organized the French meetups here, and I've done that for many years, and I create that because I know how it feels to get to a new country. So
it's so true. I often, I think sometimes I'm trying so hard to fit in or to be, but then when I meet, there's so many South Africans around me, and like, oh, that's so lovely to go with a coffee. So it's almost like you live in these two worlds of yeah, fitting into this world, but then also still kind of going actively and find the people that you have something in common with, from a nationality or where you grew up.
It's a language, and it's for me it's language, a language, yes. Well, because I was not here in Argentina for many years. There was not that many French speakers around me, so I got to the point where I felt actually I'm not still French. I don't speak French any of that every day.
Yes, of course.
So it was kind of losing even just speaking my own language. So it was like an active, like something I wanted to meet other people just to get one evening, because my partner doesn't speak French. So it was one evening a month and I'll just speak French. Now, Jessica,
that's fantastic.
So yeah, it was, and that's how that's why, you know, even during the pandemics, I didn't feel like so isolated, because, you know, naturally we already are isolated in a way from family being far away. But I've always had the kind of the online connections with people, and I feel that really, really helped me. And
yeah, absolutely.
To keep living our life, although we're not in the same kind of space, and we can still grow and do a lot of things. So where can we find you online?
So our website is coworkcrowd.com. Okay. And then we're on Instagram, just at coworkcrowd. And it'd be lovely to connect to people.
Yes, I'll put the details in the kind of the description of this video, and then in the article that's been will be published on my website. On the interview will be published on sabinefeb.com/interviews. So there you have your interview and all the other interviews that I've done so far.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Mary-Carol.
No, thank you. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to connect with you and discover your co-working space, online space.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks again. Thank you very much.
Bye.